wolf whistling could be considered as a hate crime. This is an effort to try and tackle the really serious issue of sexist abuse. Now, you'll be wondering, are the morality police going off their wave band to some extent? Or maybe you'll be thinking, this is absolutely right. It is the right thing to do. I want to speak to blogger and writer and broadcaster and indeed former politician, Barbara Werty. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Barbara. I'm very well. Now, I presume you wouldn't have been wolf whistled at.
Well, to be honest, Frank, every time I would hear it, I don't turn around because, first of all, you never know who's doing it and it may not be at you. So how embarrassing would that be? Where you stop thinking you're getting some sort of odd misshapen compliment, only for it to be somebody else. But no, I can't say I get it that often, to be fair.
I suggested this because I don't think men would have the courage to wolf whistle at you, Barbara. They could get the wrong end of your tongue.
I think, Frank, to be fair, in my life that has probably served me well. I've been very lucky to have... Well, I've come across many of the things that the women in this report have reported, but very rarely would there be something directed towards me. So I don't know why, but that's certainly something that I'm grateful for. But upon this report that I've just looked at, the one that came out yesterday, you're referring to about wolf whistling and how it could become a hate crime. I think, honestly, having read it, Frank, wolf whistling is the least of her problems. And I'm not sure really about the motivations for changing the language around this to become a hate crime. I understand that the voices behind the letter which are encouraging this to become a policy are very well meaning and obviously very well informed. But my concern in the language is that it continues to lump misogyny, women's issues, this deep-seated problem with equality in our society. And it seems to want to tie those to issues of anti-Semitism and Islamophobia, which within themselves are very difficult and prevalent issues. But my fear is that by categorising this as a hate crime, not only does it sort of amalgamate the problems of women along with all these other massive issues, but I do wonder if it is putting tackling the issue the wrong way around. It says that misogyny is the soil in which future more serious crimes grow, and that is quite rightly, I think, the truth. But the issue that we really need to tackle then is where is that misogyny coming from an early age, rather than simply just calling it out as it happens in later life. So that's my hesitation with the request of this report.
Yeah, you see, misogynistic behaviour is absolutely unacceptable. And it is to be condemned, and it is to be highlighted, and it is to be dealt with. And great progress has been made in recent times because there are men who treat women as second-class citizens. This, however, the idea of the wolf whistle being suggested under the banner of hate crime does seem to most reasonable people to be something that is the prime example of sledgehammer and nut. And you get a sense of, you know, are men going to just be afraid to communicate with women? Now, I'm saying this as someone who's never wolf whistled at anyone in my life for two reasons. One, I wouldn't do it, and maybe it's because I grew up in a house full of women, and number two, I don't have the ability to do it. I can't form my lips into the method that allows a wolf whistle to come out. If I wanted to do it, I couldn't do it. But the last two wolf whistles I've heard came from very cheeky women who were behind me, hoping that I would look round so as they could laugh and say, ha, it wasn't for you, you fool. You know, so yeah. The last two wolf whistles I've heard were from the mouths of females. So, you know, this just seems to me to be the police being daft by including wolf whistling, even in their efforts to deal with misogynistic activity.
But you see, whenever you describe that incident there that you had with the wolf whistle, that was done by those women. Perhaps they thought they were doing that in jest. Perhaps it was done lightly. I think the sort of the feeling behind how whatever action is taken out is important. So if you perhaps were on a dark road and you were walking on your own of an evening and you were being wolf whistled at repeatedly from behind by a gang of men who were walking behind you, or somebody on the other side of the road, or somebody that you maybe couldn't even see, we can see how this becomes more sinister in tone. But my fear is actually, Frank, that the wolf whistling is a very small part of what's discussed in this report. And I understand why it's an interesting thing to focus on, because it makes us all go, oh, aye, here we go again. Like you say, the political correctness police. But it is a symptom of other wider issues. So whilst, yes, it is focused on, we're talking about it now, and I do understand where you're coming from, but I hope that you can also understand where some of the women in this report would be coming from as to how intimidated they might have felt by that behaviour. But my question mark around it isn't really the validity of any of their concerns, because they obviously are valid to those people who brought them forward. It's actually the language around it. By calling this a hate crime, are we now further marginalising people who don't see it as that, people who can't understand it as that? And is the way of tackling issues like misogyny, is it just about isolating it and saying what a negative and bad thing it is, or is it about getting in at the root of the problem? Because the real root behind misogyny, and the root behind Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, all of these things that we face in a society, is a lack of respect and a lack of equality from day one. So, you know, you talk there about how you were raised in a house of women. My husband was the same, and he would have the same outlook. He treats me with a great deal of respect, and he's the same with everybody else around him. And I feel that it is reflective of coming from a background, or coming from a family where you understand the value of women and you appreciate them on a daily basis. But it's also about appreciating that they're good men out there, and what a good man looks like, and what it means just to be generally a good person to each other. So my concern is that by further segmenting our issues in society down to another level of reporting this as hate crime, do I believe that it's fundamentally going to change how misogyny operates in our society just by calling it a hate crime? No. Because it hasn't changed how Islamophobia operates or how anti-Semitism operates. So my question there is, what is the value in this in the longer term? Surely the value would be much better spent if it was put into our young people, into the youth coming up today, to encourage them to support one another, regardless of whether they're men, women, or whoever they identify as, or whoever they want to be. If we look at each other as equals and we treat each other with respect, then I don't feel that we would need this further segmentation of society to tackle these issues.
Do you think, considering there are so many conversations like this on the radio now and on the airwaves, Barbara, that men generally are going to become less confident in communicating with women in a frivolous way, in a cheeky way, in a playful way? They'll observe women differently. They're going to feel very guilty if they look across the street at a woman and don't actually say anything. The very fact they're looking at a woman. Are men of a new generation going to feel guilty about that?
Well, I hope that they don't. Otherwise, wouldn't our population boom, just wouldn't it stop in its tracks? There wouldn't be another child born. If that was the case, really, because we're not looking to further segregate people. That's what my concern is for the future. You know, there's a great joy to be had in flirting and laughing and having the crack and going out on dates. That's great fun and all of that to be had. And I don't feel that anybody's trying to squash that out. I think what we're trying to do is show that the way that has been handled historically, or the way that those situations have felt historically, have been perhaps felt like they've been stacked in favour of the man. And this is now about redressing the balance of respect and showing that the woman is at the table for respect too. And that means that just as, you know, about physical contact, about inappropriate language, about inappropriate advances, you know, anything from being harassed in the street to an unwanted physical approach. Whether that's happening to a woman or that's happening to a man, that is still just as wrong. Nobody should feel intimidated or fearful or anxious. But I think we also all have to take a level of just personal responsibility in managing what is comfortable for us. So if we're in a situation and somebody has given us an uncomfortable feeling or they're looking at us too much, then we say that to them. Women, we have the voice to say it. Excuse me, you know, can I help you? And it's for men then to understand that it's not about having to put themselves in a box or have to pretend to be somebody that they're not. It's about just looking at that person across from you and thinking of them just as you would your friends, just as you would your male friends. You know, they may have a different physiology, but the brain is the same. They're the same person in there. They're just a human being. And that's what I think, that if we look at that to the future, men won't have to worry about what they're doing or what they're saying or second-guessing themselves, because it'll just be natural to interact with women and anybody else as just in a normal way as you would two human beings getting on together. It's really that simple. I think we overcomplicate it.
Yeah, you do make it sound simple. There's no question about that, Barbara. I don't mean to be frivolous here. However, Graham has sent me a text, okay, advice on how to get the best wolf whistle. And, I don't know if I can do this, because by my own admission, I can't wolf whistle. But he says, if you wriggle your nose, right, I'm wriggling my nose, if you clench your buttocks, right, so I'm wriggling my nose, I'm clenching
Went
my...
Good grip.
So I'm wriggling my nose, I'm clenching my buttocks, I can hardly talk. Put your left finger in your ear. Okay. Jeepers, Graham. Right. So I'm wriggling my nose, I'm clenching my buttocks, I have my left finger in my ear. And he says, pout your lips and go. That was feeble.
Not a chance that was you.
That was feeble. Let me try that again. I'm going to get these buttocks tightened. That's poor, isn't it? That is poor.
Oh, here, Frankie. You're going to have to work on your real one. You can't be carrying that round whenever you go to matches or you're out and about and you're wanting to surprise somebody. You have to learn how to whistle. How do you not know how to whistle?
Go ahead. Give us a rip.
That's my dog whistle. Literally, that's the whistle I used to call the dogs. They're probably going to go mad now.
No, so if you did two of those together, that would be a wolf whistle. So wolf whistle me. Go on, Barbara. Barbara. Oh, I've been wolf whistled by a feminist. I love this. Oh, my dreams are coming through. Thank
I'm just
you, Barbara.
Wait for the backlash on Twitter now, Frank. Thanks for that.
Good luck. Bye.
All the best. Oh,
so, good morning. Some of the texts coming in on the back of Barbara being on the program with me, and I did try the wolf whistling, going by the advice that I received. Frank, stop talking about your buttocks, for heaven's sake. You're putting the whole nation off our buttered scones. Good morning to you if you're still into a buttered scone this time of the day. Frank, I'm a woman and I personally think it's all nonsense. No glamorous women in sports like the boxing or the darts. Now no wolf whistles or shirtless men working on Diet Coke breaks. Seriously, what is happening to our nation? We're becoming too politically correct. This one says, I've never heard such nonsense in my life. Whoever that girl is, she needs to get a life. In fact, she needs to get something serious into her life. What she's talking about, absolutely disgusting. That's a bit harsh, if you don't mind me saying. I can understand you maybe not being of a feminist slant, but I'm miffed at anything that was absolutely disgusting. Frank, does this mean now we can't teach people to wolf whistle? Would this be against the law? Could you ask your caller, Barbara, what a good man looks like? To use that description is a serious contradiction of the rubbish coming out of her mouth. Dear, oh, you're a bit hard on Barbara this morning. Frank, that lady has nothing to do with herself and is only jealous because nobody would whistle at her. And then Rob, you know, just the worst line of all, Rob, is that the line here, you know, whether people would whistle at her or not is irrelevant. But that line is just terrible that you follow through with. If she has nothing better to do, tell her to get back in the kitchen. Isn't that everything that's negative about a man writing that? Even if you write it in jest, Rob, it's pathetic. Get that feminist off the wireless. Let's have more intellectual debates around flags, parades and the throwing of petrol bombs. Or stick on a bit of James Young, says Paul in Glengormley. I think with his tongue in his cheek. Paul, good morning. Good morning to you. How can acknowledging an attractive woman or man with a whistle be deemed as a hate crime, Frank? Surely hatred doesn't come into it. It shows how much you like the person, says Pete. Well, Pete, Barbara Werty actually used a very good example. Yes, if, you know, someone's walking past you on the beach and you go, you know, I can't do it, so I'll clench my buttocks again, hold on, and wriggle my nose, put my finger in my ear. Oh, so that's as good as I can do. You know, if I do that and there's a whole crowd of people around and there's a woman in front of me, first and foremost, I'm going to sound and look like an idiot, like a fool. But the woman is not going to be that threatened by that. I accept what you're saying. But Barbara Werty used the example of, it's a dark road on the way home from the pub at night, and say two women are walking and they come to one of their houses and one woman goes in and the other woman has, say, another street to walk along, and there's a bloke who's left the pub at the same time as them who's been walking behind them, and he does that in the dark of night towards that woman. Now, that is threatening. That is threatening, because there's a sense of fear. Even though the bloke may be innocently trying to get attention, the reality is there is a fear factor for that female, and that is absolutely unacceptable. So wolf whistling is not always something that can be laughed off. Fred's got a point. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Fred. Very well.
Good. Frank, how would any of us have met our partners? How would you have met your wife if you hadn't spoke to her and paid her a compliment?
Yeah, but
maybe it's the worst thing we've ever done in our lives, but okay, we've all done it.
I'm very glad that I did it. I must say, for Fred, you know, there was nowhere in Barbara Werty's conversation that she was suggesting we shouldn't have conversations. She even accepted that we should look, you know, you can look and admire, even though you haven't the courage to go over and speak. It's okay to look, but it's not okay to stare. If you start staring and then the person realizes that person's staring at me, you know, you imagine you're a woman and you're in a bar and a guy looks at you, you know.
That's a scary thought straight away, Frank.
Yeah, but the woman thinks, you know, she's sitting in the bar, a guy looks at her, she thinks, oh, he's looked at me, that's nice. You know, or not, as the case may be. But then the bloke starts standing there, staring. That very quickly becomes threatening. And they're thin lines. So if a guy goes over to a girl in a bar, says, hi, how are you? You know, I'm Fred, I'm from Dublin. Where are you from yourself? And she says, sorry, I don't want to speak to you. Well, you walk away. Or she says, I'm Jill and I'm from, you know, Belfast, but I'm waiting on my husband. Then you walk away. Or she might say, you know, I'm Jill, I'm from Belfast. You know, are you in town? What's the crack? You know, and you start a conversation. You know, you just do the common sense thing. There's no harm with doing that.
Correct. Exactly.
But feminists aren't suggesting that men and women don't communicate.
As feminists blown, some of them actually are trying to do it. And it's them that are blowing, it's 8% of them are trying to actually blow us out of the water. And, oh, don't pay me, don't look at me, don't pay me a compliment. That's offensive to me. Frank, they need to catch on. It's political correctness gone mad. And them women that act like that shouldn't be allowed out. Ship them to another planet. Never mind the kitchen sink. Ship them to another planet.
Fred, you sound a bit reasonable, if you don't mind me saying. You know, you're as open-minded and as liberal a man as has ever been on the radio.
Yes, I try to.
For goodness sake, you sound like a demon, Fred.
Hi.
Because you view women as, you use the old kitchen sink analogy, you are shipping people to another planet because you don't like the fact that they don't want to be complimented. Women are well entitled to not want compliments.
what's wrong with complimenting somebody, Frank? It makes people's day. It makes people smile. It's the old saying, it's nice to be nice.
Yeah, but it obviously doesn't make the day of a person who is of a feminist mindset, who doesn't want a compliment. She doesn't want you to compliment her.
She should hide herself away and stay out of society, because society has to compliment or has to interact. And part of interaction is complimenting each other, not just complimenting women, complimenting each other.
If, however, you go over to someone and you say, "Hi, I'm Fred. It's a lovely day today," nobody's going to object. But if you go over and you say, "Hi, I'm Fred, fabulous eyes," many women would take that as a major intrusion. How dare you comment on their physique?
I wouldn't go straight away and do that. It's breaking into the conversation. How are you today? How's it going? Are you new in town? Whatever, as you said. But at the end of the day, then you maybe say, "By the way, you look fabulous today."
Well, Fred, I'll be the woman, okay? I want you to visualise me as, you know, a woman who you've some attraction to. You can pick another broadcaster if you wish. You know, just feel the way here. Don't be uneasy. But I will sit here as the female, and you've just come into the room, and you may be aware of me. You may have seen me before. You may be seeing me for the first time. I don't really mind. But, you know, give me your patter.
Basically, I would go in, depending on where the situation is. Hello, how are you?
Okay, so let me answer the question. You know, so you but ask me the question. So, you know, I'm sitting here, and I'm now feeling that I'm looking really good. I'm at a bar, and I'm on the high stool, and I've got my legs crossed, and I'm actually rummaging about in my handbag, as I often do when I sit at the bar, and I've taken out my lipstick, and I've just touched up the lipstick, licked the lip, and I'm looking in the little mirror, and I'm now looking in the mirror behind the bar, and I feel good, and the barman has just put down my gin and tonic, and I'm now lifting it and sipping it gently so as not to disturb the lipstick, and you just arrive, okay? You arrive. So now interact with me.
I would just order a pint for myself as it normally do at a bar.
Yeah, but don't tell me what you would do. Do it. You do it, and then I'll answer you.
Pint of Guinness or a pint of Harp, whichever I wanted. Hello, how are you? Are you well today?
I'm fine. I see you're a Guinness man. You're fond of a pint.
I can enjoy a good pint. What's that you're on? Is that gin or is it vodka?
Oh, no, I'm at a G&T here. I because it's only my first one tonight. But are you offering?
Well, we'll see how it goes. If you want one, you're welcome.
Sure, might as well. I might as well. I got will. Go ahead.
What brings you to town tonight? Are you meeting anybody, or are you meeting friends?
Well, I was supposed to be meeting a friend of mine. God, let me see, what time is it? He was to have been here 20 minutes ago. I'm not sure he's coming. I'm not sure he's coming, but possibly at a... Sorry, what?
Traffic's a bit heavy out there, so you might be running late, but you're welcome to join me for half an hour if you want, for a bit of crack and see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, you know, see how what goes.
Just a bit of crack, a bit of fun, just sitting chatting at the bar, and I'm just here for a few drinks and then I'm heading on, so... Rather than seeing you sitting on your own, do you want a bit of company? Just sit and have a chat.
And if he doesn't turn up?
Well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Oh, I like the sound of you. I really do.
So, I'm here for the next couple of hours anyway, so I've time to kill.
Oh! Fred, you've pulled. You've pulled, Fred. Oh, you've pulled.
But at the end of the day, Frank, we're going off the topic here.
We're not. You know what you're proving? You're proving you've a nice way with you. You know, you've a lovely, you have a lovely way with you. Look, I've just had a text. It says, Frank, you're a pervert. You know what I mean?
I was waiting that would come in. I'm dreading going to the pub to see what the boys are going to.
Do you know what I mean? You, Fred.
I'm dreading going to a local.
Women will love you because, you know, you give her every opportunity to meet up with the man that she wanted to meet. And now that he hasn't turned up in the traffic, that was a great line about the traffic. You know, I like your
always have an answer, Frank.
I like your style, Fred. Listen, thank you. You've passed the test. You have. You are anything but someone who would be described as male chauvinist. We like your style. Thank you, Fred. Thank you.
No worries.
What a cool guy, right? That's the first time I've been chatted up by a man on the phone. This is the Frank Mitchell phone in. Going to speak to Lindsay in just a moment. I'm going to speak to Lindsay, who's got a point to make. Lindsay, thanks for being patient. Good morning.
Hello, Frank. First of all, could I just possibly ask for that last caller's phone number, please?
Did you like Fred?
I did.
Do you know, there's quite a few texts saying something similar. There's another person saying, is Fred available? Fred sounds like a lovely guy. He's the sort of guy I'd like to meet in a bar. There's another one. Your man Fred, you set him a challenge and he passed it with flying colours. Yeah, he did. He absolutely did. What did you like? What did you like about him, Lindsay?
Well, I suppose just as a smooth talk, I suppose.
And do you like the idea of being in a public place and a guy trying a little bit of smooth on you?
I don't really think it does any harm, to be honest with you. You know, as he was saying, you know, how do you meet people? You know, if you don't have the nerve to maybe walk up to somebody that you think sort of, you know, attractive and you might want to get to know them, you know, I mean, I don't see, all I can say is I'm not interested, you know.
And would you ever make the first move? Would you like would you wolf whistle at a guy?
As I said in the text message, it just seems to be people are sort of concentrating more on the fact that men seem to do it to women, and it's not just that way. I mean, my friend and I'll not mention any names, of course, but years ago when we were driving home from work in Belfast, we used to, you know, wind the window down and used to didn't shout obscenities or anything, but with a sort of, you know, whistled or, you know, shouted at, you know, workers as we were going past.
And, you know, what did the blokes do whenever they saw, and I'm presuming from the way you sound, Lindsay, that, you know, you were a good-looking woman and you were, you know, sort of girl that the guys, wow, what did they do?
I would not go that far, Frank, no. I mean, we sort of shouted out the window, but as we were sort of driving, I suppose. It wasn't as if we were walking past, but we sort of shouted out, and then, of course, my friend was driving. I would have turned around. They would be sort of looking up. So I suppose, in a way, they didn't necessarily see who we were. But that we just thought it was fun to do that. You know, we just thought it was a bit of fun. Didn't think it was doing any harm. You know, I think it depends on how far you go with it and what you say. That would be my own personal opinion.
But did they react as if they were pleased at the female attention, or did they look at you as if you're, you know, how dare you?
No, they didn't look threatened in any way, or they didn't look annoyed. I mean, they didn't get any sort of, I suppose, vocal response from them, you know, or anything like that. They didn't seem annoyed in any way. So as far as we were concerned, you know, that, I mean, I didn't get their personal opinion. I didn't, you know, say anything to them. We didn't shout at them and then stop and ask them how they felt about it, I suppose. It was just a bit of fun. I mean, nothing was ever going to come out of it, if you know what I mean. We're in the car anyway. We're carrying on driving home. So nothing was ever really going to come out of it as such.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been so confident if you had have been walking.
Oh, definitely not. No, it wouldn't have been something that, I mean, not saying that I haven't said anything under the influence of possibly alcohol before, but that would give you sort of a bit more confidence. But no, it was just something, you're driving past, you see some workers, you wind the window down, you just shout, you know, or you whistle or something like that, and then you drive past. So it was definitely nothing, you know, there's definitely nothing going to come of it.
If you shouted, what form of words would you use?
I suppose just, I suppose it's hard to explain, like, quar, or, you know, look at you, or, look at him, or something like that. You know, I can't remember the exact words that were used, but there certainly wouldn't have been any obscenities or anything like that, and just whistled at them and stuff, or just you know, out the window and stuff like that. But That was about it, I suppose.
Do you know there'll be feminists listening to this programme who will be tearing their hair out, Lindsay?
Well, I don't know. I'm not, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I think it depends on what you say and how far you go and how far you push things. I think, you know, I think the fun's been taken out of a lot of things now. You know, I do honestly think that it depends on what you say. If you shout obscenities at someone or, you know, something that I would find as being rude or something like that, or, but, you know, you have to draw the line somewhere. I mean, there's not going to be any fun anymore, is there?
That's the big question. Are we doing away with the fun completely because of political correctness? And is there a reason to do away with the fun because people abuse the fun? They take it too far. You ask good questions, Lindsay. Thanks for coming on. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. All the best. Bye-bye now.
Thank you very much. Frank, I was at a GAA dinner and your woman Barbara was at it and she caused mayhem and gave off because she found Benny Tierney offensive. She's a pain in the derriere, says this texter. Now, I'm very aware of Benny Tierney. Benny Tierney was the All-Ireland goalkeeper in 2002 and he's got an All-Ireland medal and he is a schoolteacher and he is a very funny man on stage. Benny, who writes in the Irish News as well. I challenge you to go to an event where Benny is the after-dinner speaker and not weep with laughter. Now, I'm surprised to hear that Barbara, I didn't have this text when she was on the radio, that she lodged some form of objection. You sure she wasn't pulling your leg? I know Benny does a few jokes about the wife. And obviously his wife doesn't mind because I've seen Benny many a time and he uses the same script, the same routine, but the wife gets a bit of a hard time in the script. And I just wonder if that's maybe what annoyed Barbara. But I recommend Benny Tierney. He tells some great stories. You could be offended if you're from South Armagh and you're in the diesel trade. You could be offended with a lot of things that Benny says, but he is very, very, very funny. Right, 90-333-105, 077-66-105. Just looking at some more of these texts and emails. A couple of people mentioned me using the term buttocks. While Graham actually had brought it up on the radio. He said, Frank, you've got to clench your buttocks. You've got to wriggle your nose and put your finger in your ear if you're going to wolf whistle. And buttocks is a word that I do not like. And off air, I said to some of the team here, you know, I absolutely detest the word. And they were able to go back and present this to me.
At the moment, I've got, you know, pretty neat buttocks, but I'm challenged from time to time.
I can't believe that there's proof that I've used the buttocks word before. Right, 90-333-105, 077-66-105-105. I'll check more of your texts and emails. We'll hear what you're saying on a variety of things, and indeed we will cover the topics that you want covered between now and 12 noon. A chance for you to be a winner as well. Heading towards the news at 12 after Dolly.